This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, this is Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. We're speaking today with Walt Fricke, who's founder and air boss at Veterans Airlift Command. Mr. Fricke, thank you for joining us. Would you tell us a little bit about your organization, what it is, and what you do?
Sure, happy to. We're a nonprofit that provides free air transportation for combat wounded veterans, wounded warriors, veterans, or their families for medical or other compassionate purposes, with a national network of volunteer aircraft owners and pilots.
Now, why was it organized, and by whom?
Well, there's sort of a niche between what the military provides to combat wounded warriors and their families. Initially, when they're wounded, if they're seriously wounded, their families are flown into Washington, D.C. on orders, travel orders. But then the travel orders expire, and they're sort of on their own after that. So if someone needs to get home, take care of personal business, go back and take care of their son, once they complete that round trip of the military orders, they're off orders, and then they're on their own to fund the travel. So that's one of the gaps that we cover. The other is to fly guys home on convalescent leave to go see their buddies when they return from combat deployments overseas. It's very important to reconnect these guys with their world because they sort of get plucked out of their families at home and then their families in if you will, their unit in combat. If they're wounded, they get plucked out of both and they're off at a hospital a long way from home, a long way from their network and their world. So we like to kind of close that gap. And with private airplanes, we can avoid putting them through the hassle of the TSA sort of full-body searches when they go through the TSA on a commercial airliner. There are resources available to buy them airline tickets or give them frequent flyer miles, but then the winding down ceremony that sometimes lasts as much as 30 minutes while their prosthetic legs or arms are scoped for explosive devices and so forth, or if they're burn victims and that sort of thing, we just remove that insensitive part of the process by taking them on a private airplane, connecting with a community leader that maybe knows their family or gets to know them and builds a relationship with them during the trip. Sort of adds to the whole process.
It seems like a very, very personal business. What is it that inspired you to get started with this in the first place?
Well, it's my own experience, having been wounded in combat, flying helicopters in Vietnam. I spent 6 months in a hospital a long way from home. So I know the value of reconnecting these guys with their world when they get back here. And that's what's behind it, I think. My personal background and experience and, being a lifetime aviator, sort of combining my interest in aviation with a desire to give back. This opportunity sort of presented itself here when I retired. I started out just with my airplane. I was going to serve at the local VA, just go over there and see who needed a ride. And the idea got developed and sort of got out of hand. And now we've got probably 1,200 volunteers around the country.
And how long have you been in operation?
First mission was November of 06, so under 3 years.
Now, I see also you have Bob Dole on your board of advisors, on your advisory board. How did he get involved?
Well, I asked him to when we started because we wanted to have some credibility with the military side of things. Not only Bob Dole, but General Richard Myers, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Pete Bunce, the president of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, all agreed to join just to sort of help give us some credibility with the military command structure so that they didn't see us as some sort of fly-by-night outfit. Mm-hmm. So they've been helpful in that regard.
About how many operations do you do per year these days?
Probably 500, at least one a day. We'll fly maybe 700. I think the last 12 months we've flown 700 passengers.
Wow.
And it seems to be growing. We've got more missions on the board today than we've had ever at one time. So hey, we're getting pretty well known. And just last night we got a call from a Marine that we had served that was standing in the Family Assistance Center at Walter Reed and overheard a widow, her husband had just passed away the night before, five family members that needed to get back home to Jacksonville, North Carolina, after her husband passed away. And within 2 hours, we had a Pilatus PC-12 online to come down, pick them up in the morning, and fly them back to Jacksonville, North Carolina.
So your pilots are on call?
Pretty much. We blast email when we have a mission like this one. I heard about it. I got the message at 7 o'clock, and I put together a blast email to 130 pilots in that corridor, and we had probably 10 responses by 10 o'clock last night saying that they could do it, and the PC-12 being the most practical one because we had 5 passengers.
Now, are there requirements for the veterans that you transfer or the family members? Is there a screening process at all?
Well, we, because of my background, we pretty much know by the source where they're calling from. It's generally one of the family assistance centers, or so we get a handoff from a caseworker generally, or by asking a few questions, sort of get to the nugget of truth that we're not, you know, just somebody getting a free ride somewhere. But we are pretty long on compassion and light on red tape.
And what sort of pilots are involved? I imagine they do have a screening that they have to go through.
Pilots, and we need to have a high-performance aircraft, meaning a high-performance single, twin, turbine, jet aircraft, and pilots need to be instrument-rated. We require that they file an instrument flight plan on our flights and use a call sign, which is Hero Flight. The FAA has approved our call sign as Hero Flight, so air traffic controllers know who's in the air, and they almost stand up behind the console and salute, thanking our pilots for what they're doing, and generally get preferred handling. We've had guys get direct through the DC ADAs that they've never, ever gotten, but they get it when they use the call sign. So,
and how many pilots did you say were involved these days?
We've got 1,200 volunteers nationwide right now.
Are they mostly ex-military, or are they a good mix of general aviation folks with an interest in ex-military in that light?
You know, I think they're probably 50% of them are probably former military. They get it. Guys that are former military sort of get this mission immediately. But I think generally speaking, people have a visceral response to the mission. It's pretty easy to understand and visualize, and people really appreciate the opportunity to give back to these heroes in that way. So 50% of our pilots are former military, and the balance are great supporters.
And how is the operation organized and funded, and how long do you expect to operate?
Well, we'll operate as long as there's a need, and I think the combat wounded, they come back from these conflicts that are seriously injured, are going to need our services for a good time to come. So we'll be here as long as there's a need, but we haven't grown an empire here. We've got a staff of 2, potentially 3, that we can do this nationwide from our headquarters. We've invested fairly heavily in a scheduling platform that's web-enabled, and we do everything pretty much via email and the web. Passengers put in requests on the web. Missions are assigned on the web. Pilots take them on the web. We don't spend a lot of time on the telephone negotiating to get missions done. People generally pick them up quickly, and so we've got a fairly thin operating budget, and most of the contributions are in-kind contributions by the pilots who donate their time and aircraft. Of course, we need some funding to keep the doors open here, but that's a fairly modest budget compared to what we're able to produce for our wounded warriors, and our whole budget's probably under $300,000 a year. So
How do you prefer to be contacted by families in need and interested pilots?
You go to our website. Pilots can register online. And the same with the families that have a need for travel. They can go to our website under passengers and put in a travel request. Minimally invasive kind of questions. And we usually round up with a phone call to them and connect the dots. And like I said, we're high in compassion, low on red tape. So we don't require a lot of forms and documentation and that sort of thing, which frustrates military guys. They've already been through all this stuff, and that's the last thing they need is a bunch of barriers to be able to help them. So, and same with our pilots. They can register. It doesn't cost anything. We don't charge fees. We email 130 guys last night for this mission, and if they can't do it, don't bother responding. Just ignore it. We don't put any pressure on anybody, and if they can do it, great. And we generally don't have trouble getting the missions handled, so that it works fine for us.
Well, Walter Fricke, the website is veteransairlift.org. And if that can help you somehow, please look him up and get in touch. Walter, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us today.
Sure. The other thing is you can make, on that website, you can read a blog which has good stories about trips we've done. You can also make a donation directly on the website.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.